Good morning, everyone. You couldn't help yourself, could you, Marjorie? I'll try it. Two. Is that better now? Yes. Now I've unmuted it properly. Oh dear. 2026. Is everyone ready?
Yes.
I'm not sure yet.
You're a bit behind them.
Can you believe it is the 25th of the first month already? Yeah, I know. It just goes, doesn't it? Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we know you're here. We know your presence through your spirit is with us. You walk with us every day. Lord, just as we share this morning, may you bring something to our attention, something to our awareness of who you are, of our relationship with you, with our relationship with the world. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, just bring something to our attention and may we grow this morning closer to you and in a greater knowledge of who you are and what you have in store for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I wasn't here the last couple of weeks. I was in sunny Nashville and it was cold. It was so cold. It was -2 one day, and it felt like -7 by the time you added the wind chill. So I went from like 36 here to -2, so that was a bit of a shock. And I was just telling the elders before my rather circuitous routing that took me from here to the US. Took about 42 hours to get there in the end. Thanks to a bird strike and an aeroplane that then meant I couldn't get a connection, which meant that we then missed getting into customs on time, which meant we had to hold in Samoa for 3 hours so that we got into customs. Yeah, it was one of those trips. One of those tests of patience and everything else. But every trial has a silver lining. My secret Santa, we do a secret Santa in our family. My secret Santa, who I know who it was, had bought me some Kindle books because it was one of the things I'd asked for. So I read the three of them because, yeah, I had a lot of hours. And I was rereading another book and it mentioned a book that I'd never read before. And it was called Abba's Child. I have to remember the guy's name. I think it's Brennan. Just let me check now. I don't want to misquote his name. Brennan Manning. It's actually written back in the late 90s, I think. So it's a few years old now. And I just thought, as I was reading it, there were just things that grabbed me. You know when you just... somebody writes something and you go, and then they reference it back to bits of scripture and you go, oh, I see the thread. Yeah, it's like they've taken a whole set of thoughts and encapsulated it in one phrase or one little thing or a paragraph or a story or whatever, and a biblical principle that could be scattered through the scriptures now comes to light. There were several of them in there. So what I wanted to do this morning, because we're actually planning a new series to start, I think next week, if we get things finalized, but which means this is kind of the last one on the intimacy series. So I thought I would just share some of these things and give you a chance to think about them and see if anything really jumps out at you. So this morning is not going to be a beautifully laid out exegetical sermon which builds up a whole series of points and links it all. It's not going to be light. Think of it more like raindrops. I want to put some raindrops out there and see which one hits you and which one gets you wet. Yeah, which raindrop is the one that plonks on you, okay? So, a little bit of background, because you need context. Context is important. The book is based around two characters. The whole exegesis is around two characters, the imposter and the beloved. The imposter is the part of us that says, I can do it myself. I'm capable. I can get close to God by doing it myself. I can do it my way. Has anyone ever kind of stood in the place of the imposter at times? The beloved can sit still. The beloved can be with the Father and not say anything. The beloved doesn't have expectations. The beloved often doesn't have rules. The beloved does things because they are beloved. The imposter does them because they must. Everyone get it?
Absolutely.
So, let's have a look. I've got some initial thoughts, and then we're going to have a little look at the imposter, and then we're going to have a little look at the beloved. By the way, I'm only about halfway through this book, sorry, gold, so can't wait to finish it. Here's the first raindrop. And so we unwittingly project onto God our own attitudes and feelings towards ourselves. As Blaise Pascal wrote, God made man in his own image, and man returned the compliment. Thus, if we feel hateful towards ourselves, we assume that God feels hateful towards us. Anyone ever been there? Anyone ever had a situation in life where they read it and then they found out afterwards they completely misread it because we projected who we were onto the situation? Anyone ever done that? Definitely guilty here. Interesting thought. I love the thing. God made man in his own image, everything that entailed, and we return the compliment by trying to make God into our image. How many times do we project who we are onto our understanding of who he is? It's really hard not to do, isn't it? It's really hard to let Scripture speak clearly of itself, to let the Holy Spirit speak to you without putting your own preconception on it, putting your own script in there. Here's another one. The 14th century mystic Julian of Norwich said, "Our courteous Lord does not want his servants to despair because they fall often and grievously, for our failing does not hinder him in loving us." Just because we fail doesn't change who he is. He can't change. He is who he is. When we fail, do we feel like God's changed? Sometimes. Knowing that he hasn't and that he still loves us even when we fail, that's kind of a bit head-twisting at times. You've got to put your own preconception aside and be prepared to listen to him. This one is it's a Jesus quote, but it's not a direct translation of Scripture. It's a paraphrase, if you like. "Come to me now," Jesus says. "Acknowledge and accept who I want to be for you, a Saviour of boundless compassion, infinite patience, unbearable forgiveness, and a love that keeps no score of wrongs. quit projecting onto me your own feelings about yourself. At this moment, your life is a bruised reed, and I will not crush it. A smoldering wick, and I will not quench it. You are in a safe place. It's not a direct quote, but it's a derivation of a piece of scripture. I love this one. Who's been a Christian here for more than a few years? I think all of us. Do you think you know your scripture well? Interesting. Can I suggest that you all probably know it better than you think you know it? But here's a little thing. Can you study scripture your entire life and not believe a word of it? Yep. So, here's a thought. The moment of truth has arrived. We are alone with the alone. The revelation of God's tender feelings for us is not mere dry knowledge. For too long and too often along my journey, I have sought shelter in hand-clapping liturgies, in cerebral scriptural studies. I have received knowledge without appreciation, facts without enthusiasm. Yet when the scholarly investigations were over, I was struck by the insignificance of it all. It just didn't seem to matter. Does that mean scripture's not worth studying? Absolutely not. But its role is to point us to a relationship with Him. Could someone have an incredibly deep and abiding relationship with Him without the New Testament? Absolutely. Paul did it. Peter did it. All the apostles did. Hundreds, thousands did. Is Scripture good? Yes. Is it valuable? Absolutely. Can we turn it into an academic exercise? Absolutely. So let's not. Let's let it be alive. Let it speak to us. But knowledge for knowledge's sake is not the same as a relationship. They're my first four little gems. So I now want to have a little look at the imposter. The imposter is not honest with themselves. The imposter sees things as he or she wants them to be, not necessarily as they are, or presents themselves as they want others to see them, not necessarily who they are. Accepting the reality of our sinfulness means accepting our authentic self. Judas could not face his shadow. Peter could. The latter befriended the imposter within, the former raged against him. Suicide does not happen on a sudden impulse. It's an act that has been rehearsed during years of unconscious, punitive behaviours, patterns. We need to confront the imposter within us. Is that a scary prospect? I know it has been for me. It's like, do I really want to be honest about where I'm at the moment? Or do I want to put another veneer coat over the top of it and just pretend it's all good? It's hard. Honesty is really, really, really hard. Do you know who I find the hardest to be honest with? Me. Being honest with yourself actually is a really scary place to go if you don't have someone who's journeying with you. In all the times that I've grown the most, it has been the times of struggle and challenge and things like that. And it's when I've been prepared to be honest with myself and honest with Him. And that's when the change happens. They did a study. Did you know what the biggest determinant of success is in personal growth and change? Do you think it's willpower? No. Willpower, it turns out we're really bad at willpower. Anyone heard of New Year's resolution? Anyone heard of New Year's resolution that made it to February? Who's ever tried to will themselves into something? Yeah. How did it go? Most of the time it doesn't work well. What is the thing that they found that is most effective at change? Sorry? Humble, humility. What else? Sorry? Confessing, yeah, okay. They're actually both things that happen because of this. When you love something or someone, you will change. It is the best determinant. We change for those we love. Where our love is where our growth will happen. Love draws us, in the best ways, draws us to change. Did you notice I used the word draws us to change? What does will do? Will tries to push a change. What happens when we even try and push something ourselves? How hard is it? It's hard work, isn't it, to push a rock? It's hard to push anything. But when you are drawn by love, what happens? That's right. It's that willingness of heart. It's that softness. It just, does it feel like a job then? No. Because you're drawn in and you just want to. And then the change happens. Isn't it amazing the way God doesn't push us to change, does he? Does he encourage us to? Does Scripture tell us? Yeah, absolutely. Can I suggest one of the tools that the imposter uses all the time throughout all of human history is legalism. Set rules and then try and force people to obey them. How successful has that been through human history? Sorry? Oh, it happens everywhere. It happens in churches, it happens in societies. Communism was a forced system. Whenever we do this, it fails. It eventually breaks down. Might take 70 years. Yeah, communism was really successful, sort of, till the point it wasn't, because it was a series of laws and rules. No one's heart changed. Yet love draws close. Yeah. You're right, it's an individual thing. Here's a follow-on from that one. There can only be two basic loves, wrote Augustine. The love of God unto forgetfulness of self, or the love of self unto the forgetfulness and denial of God. Two ways to go. We can choose to put ourselves first and to live for ourselves. And over time, may not happen immediately, you will forget him. Or you can be drawn to him. And again, there's that word again, being drawn to him. And the self will die over time. Question, is that an easy journey? Which of those two is easier, being drawn to yourself and forgetting him, or being drawn to him and forgetting yourself? I think the second one's the harder. It's the narrow road, as Jesus talked about. The wide road's easy because it's our human nature and we just, it's simple. The narrow road is hard. That's the road of the imposter. Come on, wake up. Thank you. Yes, the wide road, sorry, is the wider. Did I not say it the wrong way around, did I? No, the wide road is the road of the imposter. The narrow road is the road of the beloved. Let's have a look at the beloved. This one I love. This grabbed me. We give glory to God simply by being ourselves. What's your thought? My initial thought to that almost was, that's right, it's almost like, what, just being here with you is enough? And it is. But I struggle with it. It's like, surely there must be, no, just be here with him. Just the simple act of being with him is what he desires. It's that simple. Does anyone kind of almost feel like, it can't be that simple. There's got to be more complicated. It's got to be harder than that. God is asking me, the unworthy, to forget my unworthiness and that of my brothers and sisters, and dare to advance in love, which has redeemed and renewed us in all God's likeness, and to laugh, after all, at the preposterous ideas of worthiness. Is the thought that I could be worthy to a holy God on my own effort a preposterous idea? If you really understand how magnificent and amazing he is, the very idea that I could become worthy for that on my own effort, it's ridiculous, isn't it? If you really think about it, it's like, that's nuts. Yet how many of us do it? Yeah, but he's going to do it for you. The idea that we could do it ourselves is just nutty. It's crazy. That'd be crazy talk. Yeah. Yeah. When the imposter's trying to do it, you're trying to earn it. You're trying to make it happen your way. You can't do it. It's nuts. Yet, how much of the world's system is based on the idea that you can be acceptable? Last one. I love this one. This was kind of cool. One of my favourite stories about a priest from Detroit named Edward Farrell, who went on his two-week summer vacation to Ireland. His one living uncle was about to celebrate his 80th birthday. On the great day, the priest and his uncle got up before dawn and dressed in silence. They took a walk along the shores of Lake Killarney, stopped to watch the sunrise, standing side by side with not a word exchanged, staring straight at the rising sun. Suddenly, the uncle turned and went skipping down the road. He was radiant, beaming, smiling from ear to ear. His nephew said, "Uncle Seamus, you look really happy." "I am, lad." "Want to tell me why?" His 80-year-old uncle replied, "You see, my Abba is very fond of me." How would you respond if you were asked this question? Do you honestly believe God likes you? Not just loves you theologically, God has to love you. If you could answer that with gut-level honesty, "Oh yes, my Abba is very fond of me," would you experience a serene compassion for yourself that approximates the meaning of tenderness? Does God like you? Yeah, he loves you. Does he like being with you? When I say that, what's your inner response? Many years ago, mine would have been, "I'm not sure." Now for me, it's, yeah, he likes spending time with me, and I like spending time with him. Does God like you? It's different to love, isn't it? Hand up if you have some family who you love, but there are days you wonder if you like them. You get what I mean, don't you? Does everyone understand that? You instinctively get it. You love them. You want to throttle them sometimes. Does God like you? Can I give you a hint?
He does.
So if you want to take one thing from my message today, is God likes you. And that's really cool. He wants to spend time with us. Uncle Seamus there, yeah, skipping down an 80-year-old. My Abba likes me. Isn't that cool? So I am sure, because I know the way God builds things, that as we go through this year with the messages, we'll be talking about the new theme, which I'm not going to spoil today, although anyone on the roster probably knows about it already. We're going to go into a new theme, but every year that we do this, last year seems to thread its way in. It's like he built the next layer. And so I don't expect to just suddenly stop talking about this. I think we still will. I think things will just thread their way. It's amazing the way he does that. But God likes you this morning. The imposter's real. We all live with him. He has a tendency to rear his head. So I'm just going to pray. And then I'm actually not going to talk about... I was going to do something for communion, but I'm actually just going to bring around the communion emblems once I've prayed and just take it in your own time. And then I'll just pray to close and we'll come together for morning tea. Lord Jesus, I just love the fact that you know us. You know our imposter. You know the one that wants to do it ourselves and be strong and everything. You love us, but kind of almost as important is you like us too, and you really want to spend time with us. You just want to shine your face upon us and be in that place where we can just stand and watch a sunset and you are standing there right with us. No words need to be said. Yet my best friend is standing beside me. And that's an amazing metaphor. Lord, you made that happen through Calvary. The Lord of the universe stepped down and took human form, walked with us, and then laid down his life that we may walk into the Father's presence, worthy not because of what we tried to do and failed utterly, but because you took the cost for us. What an amazing gift. So I want to thank you for that. And as we just share these emblems, the broken bread, the cup, your body, your blood, broken and shed so that we may sit with the Father and you. And Lord, you gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could experience it now. The Holy Spirit will walk with us every single day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Spirit, that you are here sitting with us right now. Lord, I praise you for your goodness. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being present here this morning and every day. Lord, as we take these emblems, may we just lay down those things that we are hiding, the imposter's hiding from you because we don't want you to see them. We're embarrassed by them, we're hurt by them. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, just bring something to our memory this morning that we need to lay at your feet. And Lord, then I challenge each one of us to not pick it up again, because we all have a tendency to do that. Lord, may we leave it with you, whether that's a relative, a friend, a situation, a circumstance, whatever it is, Lord, may we just leave it at your feet and leave it to you to deal with. Lord, we ask you to just bless this time now and speak to each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me grab the... Father, we lift you up this morning and we praise you and we honour you for who you are and your magnificence. Jesus, we thank you for this gift, the gift of your body and your blood shed for each one of us. And Holy Spirit, walk with us this week as we go. Lord, speak to us. May we have ears to hear you. May we have eyes to see what you are doing. And Lord, may we follow your leading and know what we need to say as we are salt and light within our community. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for our time this morning. And we lift you up and we honour you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Come and have a cuppa with us.